and welcome to the Audio Drama Production Podcast. I'm Fiona.
And I'm Sarah.
And today is the penultimate of our weekly conception to production summer season. Sarah, you went and interviewed MJ Cogburn, owner of Darker Projects. Yeah,
I did. It was a dark and stormy night. And we had a wonderful chat. She's obviously got some fantastic experience of some amazingly exciting podcasts. I mean, you know, if you love the kind of retro age of a certain series of programs, then you're going to love this interview. I'm a massive Quantum Leap fan.
Oh yes,
there's all of those episodes that we talk a little bit about, and yes, just expertise wise with, you know, editing, creating and just being involved.
Yeah. She's an absolute all-rounder, isn't she? And everything that she does.
Yes, we praise
her. Which is, she is fascinating
amazing.
Too.
Yes, she's who I want to be when I graded up. So, yes, I think without further ado, shall we just crack on and hear what she had to say?
Absolutely. And if you do enjoy what she has to say, then do email us at podcast@audiodramaproduction.com.
Yes. I think you should sing it next time. It needs a jingle. We need, so people remember it. That's why I'm not remembering it, because we're saying it and it's meant to be sung. So yeah, we'll come up with one for next time, can we?
Yeah, absolutely we will. And where can people go to read more widely about podcasting techniques and tips?
Well, to read more widely, if you would like to do such thing, there is a brilliant resource which I've delved into and got lost in several alleyways, thepodcasthost.com. They have a range of articles on a number of exciting things that if you're a podcaster, you need to know about. So if you're looking to fathom about microphones, cables, where to do some research on podcasting, how to set up interviews, how to interview even, maybe I should look at that a little bit deeper.
Oh,
but
goodness.
There's so many things on there, I think. Have a look.
Absolutely. And yeah, put aside a day or two because it will.
A couple of weeks.
It will draw you in. I don't think I've ever gone there and only read one article. I've always got sucked into lots.
Absolutely.
More.
And you don't have to read it in a Scottish accent.
Oh, I thought that was a rule.
Yeah, no, you don't have to. It's not written. Didn't see it. Small print. It's fine.
Oh, there you go then. Right. Even more accessible than I thought.
It is.
Brilliant.
Right.
Thank you so much. Enjoy this interview with MJ Cogburn.
Hello, I have the amazing MJ Cogburn here. Hello, MJ.
Hello, Sarah. How are you?
I'm very, very well. We really are keen to, first of all, find out just a little bit about how you fit into this podcast world. So for those people that for some reason don't know who you are, could you just give us a little potted history as to how you've come to podcasting?
That's a really long story. It all started back in 1980. No, I don't want to do it that far. But it did kind of really. It all started with Quantum Leap.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of, well, for those of you who don't know me, I am the owner of Darker Projects. Mm-hmm. And I also work with Colonial Radio Theater on the Air with Jerry Robbins.
Awesome.
And as I was going to say, it all started back in time when I fell in love with Quantum Leap. Mm-hmm. And it all kind of got started when I was writing fan fiction.
Uh-huh.
And that led immediately into writing a script, which I found out about podcasting and the audio verse. And I was like, well, shoot, I can do this. I think I could do it. And a friend gave me a program to mess with, and I just kind of started fiddling around, and now I'm here.
Amazing. So, yeah, and what an inspirational source to come from. I was brought up on that as well. Old Sam.
Well, it was the whole grouping that fell in love with Quantum Leap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was Sam, Al, how they got along together.
Yeah.
And that was one of the very first things that I actually started working on was a Quantum Leap, like, they're called the Quantum Leap Radio Files over at Al's place.
Uh-huh.
So,
and can we
did
still,
those for a little bit.
Can we still access those?
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Well, we'll put links to those in our show notes for those of you that are also massive fans, because I'm sure there's loads of people that were brought up on those as well. Fantastic. So from there, what happened? How did you progress?
I was talking with different people like Eric Busby and Chris Snyder.
Yeah.
But I didn't really know who they were.
Okay.
You know, I didn't know about darker projects. I didn't know about all those different productions that were out there.
Mm-hmm.
So I started searching things out. I kind of liked that darker edge. So I was like, darker projects, what's this all about? And I started listening to them. Started acting in, I believe it was He-Man.
Awesome.
That Ellie Hirschman did.
Uh-huh.
And got in that way. It was like, I asked Chris if he needed any help with anything. Mm-hmm. I'd more than gladly do it. And mm-hmm. he said, well, sure, give it a try.
Super.
And he said he was impressed with what I did. Mm-hmm. So,
what capacity did you work on those? Were you essentially an actress, or did you do other elements of audio work as well?
Well, at the very beginning, I acted for Darker Projects, Pendant, Broken Sea,
mm-hmm.
Gypsy Audio,
yeah.
Giant Gnome. I mean, there's a whole bunch of groups that I was just kind of flittering around to because I liked what they put out.
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, it kind of just fell into place for me. And I did everything for everybody's group. And if I could help, I helped.
So you're talking doing sound design as well as acting and directing and
producing, editing, whatever you want to call it.
Super.
I tried to help.
Amazing.
In any way that I could. I can't do the music. I don't have the sound equipment for it. But, I mean, I play the piano, so at least I know how things are supposed to sound.
Yeah. I can play Mary Had a Little Lamb with one finger on a piano. That's the extent of my amazing prowess. But would you say that is a good thing to do, to have kind of a knowledge of quite a range of jobs in the audio world?
Well, at first, you need to act.
Uh-huh.
And then from there, you need to listen long enough to be able to understand the pacing.
Yeah.
You know, because you don't want a sentence from two different people when they're talking to lag behind.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause that would be really confusing.
Yeah.
That leads into other things as well, so it all works out.
Yeah. So from all those various experience to now, if we want to just hone in now on Darker Projects, so you took over Darker Projects in 2015, was it 16?
15, 16, yeah.
Yeah. How do those scripts come to fruition now? So what is the process that currently you have from the moment you've decided what is going to be the next whatever it is, Darker Project? How does that work? How does the system come together?
That's a good question. Yeah. I don't know if I really have an answer for that one, because it kind of depends on my real life schedule. If I can get stuff done for Jerry, because he comes first. And once I get stuff done for him, because he pays me, so that's kind of important.
Superb.
But everything else, how to figure out if I should put out a Quantum Retribution or a Star Trek or Doctor Who.
And how does that come to production?
Well, part of that is that it's just really kind of interesting that you ask. I'm so glad you did. There are a lot of fans that want us to put out more and more Star Trek.
Yes.
And that's great. I'd love to put out Star Trek every chance I can, but I'm not in charge of Star Trek.
Sure.
That's Chris Williams's job.
Uh-huh.
So if something should happen in his family or real life, as it were, then he slows down. He only has like maybe two people helping him.
Okay.
David Ault. The amazing David Ault is in charge of Doctor Who.
Uh-huh.
And I actually have a Doctor Who that I need to listen to and make sure that everything's good with it, and then I can put it out.
Yep.
But as for Quantum Retribution, Madness, 5-Minute Fears, Night Terrors, and all the rest of them, it depends on if I have one ready to go.
Okay.
Because if it's not ready to go,
yeah,
I can't put it out.
And if you can hone in on one of those, so what kind of production team is behind the most recent release that you've had, for example? If you could talk us through how that came to fruition, that would be really useful, I think, for our listeners.
Well, let me go with Madness. Mm-hmm. Madness is a post-apocalyptic story of a group of guys that go on a camping trip, and mm-hmm. then when they wake up, everybody's gone insane in some shape or form. Mm-hmm. The writer of this story is Andrew T. Jaro, mm-hmm. amazing writer. And he sent me an email and was like, hey, I'd like to make this an audio.
Yep.
Could you help me out?
Superb.
I read the script. I loved the script. Mm-hmm. I even loved the plot line that he had already listed out.
Cool.
You know, I was like, oh, yeah. We're going to do this. Awesome. We're going to do this. And before the amazing Bill Holwig passed away, mm-hmm. he gave me a site to go to uh-huh. to listen to a particular set of music
yep.
that he thought would work with this particular type of audio. Mm-hmm. So I'm using that music to go along with this audio.
Oh, lovely, yeah.
But to go from step to step, you know, mm-hmm. first you have to have a script, mm-hmm. then you have to have all the sound effects mm-hmm. that you think you're going to be using.
Yep.
And sometimes you don't have certain sound effects and you got to go make them.
Yeah. And do you do that specifically?
If I have to, I will. But I try to find something that's really close to what I'm looking for.
Uh-huh. Can you give us an example of something you've had to recently find that's been quite challenging?
In Madness, there's a scene where it's toward the end uh-huh. of the first episode where the guy is sticking hooks in his eye. And it's making a popping sound with, you know.
Yeah.
So I had to find something gory enough that kind of had that same kind of sound.
Amazing.
And then having the music underneath it so it supports the scene, but not too heavy and not too light. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just kind of playing with it to find out how it's all going to work out in the end.
Yeah.
And that's all kind of subtlety that some people just don't have.
Interesting, yeah. So it's having that ear to make sure the balance is correct for everything. And what did you use in the end? I'm intrigued.
Oh, you would ask. I think it was a gory sound that I found in a sound effect that I already had. Uh-huh. And I used like a pop from a bottle opener.
Uh-huh.
So it sounded like a
yeah.
more of a pop sound. But it couldn't be too loud because then it wouldn't work. Mm-hmm. It had to be soft enough that it wasn't, that you couldn't tell what it actually was.
Interesting, yeah.
But loud enough so that you knew what it was.
Superb. So you've got the sound effects all in place. You know the script now. So what's the next stage for you to progress?
After everything is mixed down, putting it on the server, then going through, and once you have it where you want it and everything's set, then going through places like that you would want it to show up at mm-hmm. YouTube, iTunes, just to make sure that it gets put out.
Mm.
And if you are not good at HTML, which sadly sometimes it escapes me, I'll screw something up and then I have to go back and find out what I did wrong.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. And in regards to casting these projects, do you have a talent pool of actors that you know and trust, or do you throw casting calls out? Because I've listened to a few things and I know you have in the past done open casting calls. Do you still use that method now?
Yes, ma'am, I do.
There's hope yet.
I use casting calls. Not too long ago, for a different show for Night Terrors, mm-hmm. I went to Facebook. And I was like, hey, if you want to act, or if you want to try your hand at acting, mm-hmm. if you have a microphone of any kind, your cell phone, because a friend of mine used her cell phone to record all our lines, and they were good.
Wow, that's amazing.
So use whatever you have mm-hmm. to see if it will cut the mustard, as they say, and it will work out in the end, eventually.
And how did you recruit from that? Did you use people who answered that call?
Yes, I did, actually.
Superb. And from there, so you've got these people, do they audition for you first? And how much sort of to-ing and fro-ing is there before you actually cast people?
Sometimes I'll give like 2 weeks to get people's auditions in. Uh-huh. And if nobody really replies, then I might be like, okay, who's a good friend who would do this for me? Oh, hey, Pete, could you?
Awesome.
And Pete has actually said that he would help me with a voice in Quantum Retribution, Pete Lutz.
Awesome. So. We love Pete Lutz. Hello, Pete. He doesn't listen to
he's
this.
He's awesome.
He's actually admitted that he's on our lovely Facebook forums, but he doesn't really listen to our show. So we can say what we like about him now. I must say, a lovely raging storm is also happening now outside my house, which is nothing I can do about Mother Nature. So we might have some thunder rolls behind this lovely podcast episode. Just so you know.
Oh, it's going to be great.
Yeah.
It's going to be great because you're talking about darker projects.
Yeah. It's perfect.
Yeah.
But superb. So your cast is in place. And do you do just remote actors sending in lines, or do you work in a studio for your final recordings?
Everyone that I do for darker projects is a remote cast.
Mm-hmm. And is that easy to manage from your perspective?
No, not always.
Come on, dig the dirt. What problems have you come up with that people who are thinking about doing this might possibly have?
Oh, well, you know, just lines that you would think would be like throwaway lines. Like, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. Just little bitty things that you would just like not really latch on to. Uh-huh. The actors, for some reason, think, oh, I need to say this line this way. Mm-hmm. And that's not how I really wanted it said.
Okay.
But, and they kind of have the same intonation 3 different times.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, that's not working. Uh-huh. And then, of course, I have to call them up.
Yep.
Hey, could you do this one line this way?
Okay, so you demonstrate
and
the line. Yeah.
That's a problem. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a problem with a remote.
Yeah.
As for when everybody's in a certain room, uh-huh, and they're with you, whether it be in an actual recording booth, which would be awesome.
Yeah.
Because, like I mentioned earlier, I work with Jerry Robbins, mm-hmm, and everybody comes to his house, and they record on his microphones, uh-huh, and it's so much easier because every line, even with all the bloopers and laughter and everything else, mm-hmm, it's all together.
Yeah. Yep. Makes
so you
editing.
Don't have to worry about, yeah, you don't have to worry about it as much because you know it's all going to line up.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but it doesn't always work out either.
Yeah, well, this is it. You'll have lots of different varying mic tones and sounds and quality to then merge to the same sound quality. So, yeah, I am consistently amazed by how, you know, people are able to match them all up, especially larger cast shows as well. So yeah, there's a certain amount of expertise and I'm sure experience that you need to make it all work.
I just go by what I hear. Mm-hmm. You know, if it sounds good and there's a little hiss behind it, I may make the background noise a little bit louder,
uh-huh,
so that it kind of hides it up a little. Mm-hmm. But I do try to take it as much out as I can without distorting anything.
Yeah, yeah. No, that makes sense. And yeah. With regards to that, how much direction do you give to these actors before they do the actual text you've sent?
I really don't do much. Mm. I really don't, because a lot of the stuff that's already in the script is what they need to do.
Uh-huh.
I mean, like Madness, since we've been talking about Madness.
Yep.
Dave Morgan had to laugh maniacally,
yes,
for long periods of time. Mm-hmm. Kind of sounding like the Joker, just losing it.
Mm-hmm.
And he stole the freaking show. I mean, it was so funny just listening to him laugh, uh-huh, that you kind of forget about what's going on and how horrible it actually is. Mm. But he's laughing the entire time,
uh-huh,
because his part of his madness is just being hysterical.
Uh-huh.
That's his coping mechanism, I guess.
Superb. Yes, it does become infectious.
Yeah.
Regards to then how that happens in post, do you have to do a lot of kind of snipping of lines, or does the text pretty much stay as it was written?
Oh, it's pretty much as it's written. Mm. Unless the writer specifically says, if you can get this out in one long breath, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But sometimes it doesn't happen, and of course, yeah, you're going to have to fix things here and there, but... Oh. It's not too terrible. I have great actors.
Fantastic. And what top tips would you give to people who potentially are remote actors to, you know, really shine for a producer?
One would be to make sure that you don't have a lot of hiss or noise in the background, uh-huh. because as soon as you have a tremendous amount of hiss or some kind of background noise going on,
yeah.
it makes it super hard to take that out. Uh-huh. You know, if you can build something that your microphone sets in so that there's nothing, no noise, outside noise
yeah.
getting in, that's good.
Yeah.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
And if not, and that's as good as you can get it, sometimes I just have to deal and I'll clean it the best way that I can. And then, like mm-hmm. I said, you know, up the background just a little bit more
yeah.
and fix it.
Uh-huh. And do you work with other composers or sound designers to enhance the kind of mood or brand identity of your piece?
I hadn't thought of really... I mean, I work with... I wouldn't say work with Kai Hartwig, and but I've used their music.
Mm-hmm.
And Kevin MacLeod, I've used their music, oh, yes. but I don't particularly know them.
Okay.
You know them.
Uh-huh.
If I'm really strapped and I really don't know what to do,
uh-huh.
I will ask Chris Snyder.
Yeah.
I'll ask Mark Brzee to listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll ask Jonathan Patrick Russell,
mm-hmm.
who works with Dream Realm Enterprises,
yeah.
to listen to it, because he's got a really good ear as well.
Superb. So if they've found some kind of glitch or problem or something that doesn't flow, or just have an idea to make something better, have you gone back to re-record before, or is it mainly kind of a technical thing that you've gone to redo?
Well, if it's a line problem, then I will have somebody re-record.
Uh-huh.
But if it's just a sound glitch, which I've had a whole bunch of those problems lately.
Okay.
Somebody will say, hey, what's this noise? Why is that in there?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I'm like, oh. And see, that's the problem, is that not a lot of people know, well, if you're on my Facebook page, you know, that I broke my foot mm-hmm. at the last part of April.
Yeah. Yep.
And I had to get screws put in, and one of them goes across a joint, oh. so my foot won't bend, actually,
mm-hmm.
the way it's supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been in a lot of pain and on pain meds. And the problem is that when you mix something and you're on pain medication... It doesn't come out the way you thought it did when you're not on pain medication.
Amazing, yes.
You'll have sound effects out of order. You'll have people sounding like Mickey Mouse or the Dark Lord or something, and it doesn't work out well.
Okay. Fascinating. So a more trippy version of what you meant.
Yeah, but when you have... medicine in your system and you're just trying to, you know, get something out, which mm-hmm. I was trying to do because I know people are ready for the next episode of Madness.
Uh-huh.
And I was working on it and it was like, oh no, I can't, I had to redo the whole scene.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
It doesn't work.
Okay. Wow.
So
yeah, this is like real life creeping in, isn't it? And you've got deadlines and you've got people wanting more, and you as I say, you mm-hmm. just want to get it done, yes. And what essential rookie problems, I guess, do you think that people going into podcasting might come up against that you can give some top-notch advice about avoiding?
I've heard this from a couple of people that you need to watch... You know, if you're going to put out something that's really this grand scheme thing, mm-hmm. make sure your artwork kind of goes along with that.
Yeah, cool.
I mean, because if you're I heard someone griping about that the other day. Uh-huh. Oh, man, if they'd only knew how tacky it looks. And I'm like, oh, does mine look tacky? And then another thing is, if you think it sounds great, have someone listen to it that really doesn't, you know what you're doing. Mm.
Yeah.
And let them listen to it and see if you have the reaction that you want them to have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because if they're essentially grossed out by the end of the episode, then you did it if that's what you wanted them to feel.
Yeah, awesome.
You know, and they will let you know if they were grossed out or whatever. Yeah.
So basically, generally, you would advise somebody who's got nothing to do with the project at all to have a good listen.
To listen to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a bit of market research before it goes out to the punters. Yes.
Yes, very much so.
Mm-hmm. Where do you actually market your product then in the end? So how have you got your followers to, you know, find it?
iTunes or specifically on the website itself.
Mm-hmm. And do you have
darkprojects.com?
Darkprojects.com, we will put that on the show notes. And how much listener feedback do you get? Do you get a lot of interaction from folks and fans?
It depends on the project. Uh-huh. Sometime with Madness, I send it to the author and his dad,
uh-huh.
and I will hear their feedback. Oh, could you do this a little bit? Most of the time, they're happy with what I have.
Yeah.
I remember when the very first audio that I did for Darker Projects, mm-hmm. and Chris Snyder was kind of criticizing my work.
Right.
And this is something big for newcomers, too. Mm. If somebody is giving an honest critique of your work, take it. See if you can do better.
Yeah.
Because in the long run, all they're trying to do is make you better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't let it stop you. Absolutely.
No, and if someone says, oh, man, this was totally horrible, you have no talent. If I didn't have any talent, I wouldn't be working with the people that I work with.
Yep. So try and find why, perhaps more detail from that person to help you grow. Yeah,
exactly.
Great advice. Yeah.
Another guy, I can't remember his name, he went on Facebook and he gave a great little review of Madness, uh-huh. the very first episode. And I was like, oh man, thank you so much. I appreciate that you're listening and that you're at least giving me feedback, because a lot of people don't.
Yeah.
They'll just listen and go,
Yeah. And do you get a lot of iTunes reviews as well to feedback?
I don't have enough time to actually go and look at all the, if I even have feedback. You know, uh-huh. I'm producing, I'm editing, I'm, you know, doing sound, making sure that the sound at least sounds good, because mm-hmm. if it doesn't sound good, I'm going to send it back
mm-hmm. yep.
to Chris and let him fix whatever's wrong with that sound. Mm-hmm. But usually I don't have to do that.
Okay. And what DAW are you using to do your editing?
I am using Adobe Audition.
Mm-hmm. And why? Why have you chosen that as your DAW of choice? What is so cool about it that works with how you want to work?
It has so many different tracks in it uh-huh. that you can lay 4 different tracks at the same time. Mm-hmm. You can move things around easy. Mm-hmm. If you need to delete something or change a certain sound, you can do it in the program so easily mm-hmm. compared to other programs where you have to take it out of the system,
yep.
change this one little sound so it sounds like they're talking through a telephone, mm-hmm. do that sound effect, and then put it back in.
Okay.
You don't have to do that. You can just do it all in one place.
It's quite a fluid system, you think, of being
yes.
able to work. Yeah, fantastic.
At least it works for me.
Yeah.
And
yeah. With Darker Projects, do you think there have been any other issues that have been hard to overcome to get the project up and out on its feet?
The biggest issue is that I'm only one person.
Uh-huh.
And I can only do so much.
Yeah.
I mean,
and how do you cope with that?
If I could duplicate myself, I'd be great. But
so cloning is good. Can we hurry this process up, please? Because we need more MJs.
Please. No, we need more Sarahs.
Well, I don't know. The world would probably implode if that happened. I don't know if I'd like myself. But there we go. That's another story entirely. But yeah, I...
There is a Minion meme out there that says that you really don't want me off my meds, do you? So I don't know if the world's ready for that or not.
How exciting. We'll have to wait and see. But yeah, and I guess the main question as well is, you know, for sort of that professional edge, what is it that you think that you do really well? What have you learned that's sort of something that you can pass on as a really brilliant tip for those who are aiming for excellence in podcasting?
I honestly can't say that I do something better than anybody else. I just use the ear that God gave me and do the best that I can. Mm-hmm. Because the best that I can is maybe the mediocre that Chris Snyder can do.
Okay.
Because, I mean, he's blind. Uh-huh. And his hearing is awesome.
Superb, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can't do anything. To me, I feel like I can't do it as well as he can.
Interesting, yeah.
You know, so I'm always striving to try to get better, but I can't say that there's one thing that I do better than other people.
Interesting. And what's that?
Because I haven't heard everybody. Uh-huh. That's the issue, as I haven't heard everybody.
Well, this is the thing. I'm continually playing catch up. I think there's several new podcasts every day, isn't there, that kind of jump out and think, oh, that sounds fun. When am I going to find time to listen to that?
Like Audio Oblivious.
Hooray! Eagle Screech, hashtag, or etc. Yes.
Where you make a very interesting... Lady of the Night thing? Oh, I don't know.
I wouldn't. Is she a Lady of the Night? I have no idea what her actual background. No, well, no, I absolutely love playing Lizzie. Yeah, no, I do very much. And
I hope I didn't insult you because, no. But that's kind of how it sounds like you're playing her. It's like
she's naughty and cheeky as she can possibly be on an edge and a knife edge of naughtiness. Yes, which is, you know, a side of everybody that they should explore now and then, whether it be an audio drama or real life. But yeah, I mean, from my perspective, you know, that's a role I'd never get on stage probably. So to do it. Orally, as it were, which Lizzie would be proud of. I'm very, yeah, no, it's really good fun. And the whole series and how they write, I think, is really good fun. This next series.
You know what's interesting is when Austin Beach approached me to play a certain part.
Yes.
For Heather.
Yes.
I was like, I don't know if I can sound like the person that you want me to sound, but let me try.
Yeah, awesome. Yes.
And he said, well, you know that character in South Park and how she talks? And I was like, yeah, has kind of a lispy sound. Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, I need kind of like that, but nerdier. Like, oh, Lord. So I used to have braces growing up.
Also, it's method acting.
I literally still have my retainers.
Oh, wow.
I don't wear them anymore, but I have them.
Uh-huh.
And so I found them. Uh-huh. I slipped them on. Uh-huh. And I was like, how in the world did I ever wear these before and talk? I have no idea.
So did you do the part with wearing those?
I wore those while I was reading the lines, and they were like, that was awesome, yes, you got to do that. I was like, oh, no.
That's hilarious. Awesome. Love it. I can't wait to hear it, actually. It's coming, all out very shortly, isn't it, hopefully.
Yeah, episode 2 is where she shows up.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. So, people, if you haven't heard it, go and listen to Audio Oblivious as a Winnebago warrior. It's good fun. Hashtag Eagle Screech. Yes. I'm just waiting for Austin to give us a group sing along around a campfire because, you know, Lizzie would love a sing song of that. And, you know, we get Heather in there, just get a whole group of us singing that initial song. Be great fun.
Oh, that would be fun. Yeah. That would be fun.
Doing a campaign. but brilliant. And yeah, I mean, that's the whole thing, isn't it? That, you know, you're not restricted to just one role in podcasting. I think that's brilliant. I think people, you know, I feel quite inspired by that. Because like you know, you've said you start with acting. I have. I've started with acting and I've come from my theatrical background, if you like, and also a director of theatre. But yeah, I'm yearning to learn all these different ropes because I have such ambition to hopefully, you know, be producing stuff that I've written and so on. So I'm learning by listening, I'm learning by being involved in these different productions as an actor of all these different styles and different parts. And I mean, what else do you think people need to be doing if they're aiming to be a successful podcaster? What do you need to be good at?
If you can watch people, just, mm-hmm. you know, maybe go to the mall, watch some people walking by and try to listen in on their conversation just as they're walking by. Mm-hmm. Because you hear the cut end of one thing and as they're walking by, you hear their conversation and it kind of starts fading out. Mm-hmm. I found out something else that helps me is, like when I'm doing the dishes or something and I have the TV on in the background.
Yeah.
Listening to the TV while your head's turned away, you know, and listening to a storyline that's going on because you've got real life to take care of. You have a dog or a cat, they want your attention. If you have kids, they want your attention. I mean, there's so many. If you got a husband, he definitely wants your attention.
They need help, don't they? Yes, they
do. They're just like another kid. So you have to go through life to actually understand an audio, mm-hmm. which is kind of, you know, how people talk.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the rhythms, isn't it? The rhythms and paces and overlaps. You know, I think what I've fathomed is the ones that I feel podcast-wise are less professional, the ones where there isn't that overlap of conversation or there's no reaction of the other person listening to someone talking underneath what's happening.
Exactly.
And that so frustrates me. And it's been in things I've been in as well, and I feel like it makes me sound unnatural, which is really, I find frustrating as an actor. But, you know, I'm not producing those things. But yeah, those...
Where's the hum that should go right there?
Yeah. All those reaction sounds. And that is for actually one of the problems I find as a remote actor. Just recording the lines that I do, you know, you kind of do them three times in a row, perhaps at least, different ways. And then I do the kind of reactions under bigger chunks, and I try to kind of be reacting at the end of the sentence that someone else has said as I would if we were actually, you know, conversing. But that hardly ever ends up in the mix, I find. And yeah, I don't know. That sounds really awful that I want to educate people doing podcasting. But just as a listener, that's something I find really frustrating and unnatural about some of the podcasting shows I'm hearing. So yeah, that's my little
clue. Well, sometimes... Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. But that's what we were talking about, wasn't
it? Yeah, perfect. Exactly that. Yes. And it's that just agrees. Yeah.
Little things like that where if someone's arguing, they're not going to be quiet.
Yeah. No, I mean, butt in. Yes.
If you want to listen to an argument, watch a, you know, Steve Wilkos, Maury Povich or Jerry Springer. Uh-huh. And there you got it. If you want an argument, just listen to one of those.
Yeah. Perfect.
They never shut up.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no silence in an argument. There's always someone ready to bark something else. Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think it's that pacing as well that's interesting. I think another thing I've found as a remote actor is that perhaps my pacing of my lines is too slow in conjunction with another actor who's done it from, you know, America or Australia or Russia or wherever it's come from, that, you know, it would be... for me, really interesting to perhaps, you know, have a little bit of those other actors' lines that are chosen and to see if, you know, we can match up a little bit more. Because I find that's another frustration I think I have as a remote actor is that pace. It could be so much better if I picked up my pace and knew that would work better with the responses and the dialogue with another actor. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know if you realize it, but you talk a little bit faster than I'm used to.
Okay.
I'm kind of used to a southern drawl mm-hmm. over here in Texas. And it kind of depends on the person that you're talking to, because sometimes their accent is so heavy.
Uh-huh.
And you don't realize that they talk slow because they want to make sure that they get every accent out that they can.
Yeah.
And then there are those people that you can't enunciate and you're wondering what the hell they're saying because you don't know.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's one of my problems, I think, is my enunciation. And I've been trying to address
that. Come on,
you
enunciate just fine.
Well, no, but I think in certain characters, especially, like there's Drunk Helen in the Scottish podcast and a few others, and I think, I just need to open those mouths a little bit more. Yeah, so, no, I think, you know, you always want to improve, and I think that's one of the areas I think I need to. But anyway, it's not about me, so talking about you.
No, but it's true. Mm-hmm. I mean, the only person you should be fighting against every day is yourself.
Uh-huh, sure.
To be better than the day before.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, so. Absolutely. Yeah, no, I think quality-wise, there is some really brilliant stuff being made out there. And, I think we are lucky enough to talk to people like you who've got such lovely and amazing experience in, you know, all aspects of it that hopefully inspire newer generation of people and all, you know, keep those pros that are in it a bit of a shake up now and then, because I think we don't want people to get too staid or set in their ways, do we, that they're just churning out the same thing. I think the fact that there is quite an open floodgate kind of system at the minute, and that, you know, things are on the brink of changing, aren't they? So, you know, that you can see that there is a need for good stories to be told well that can then, you know, spill out to other mediums and reach wider mm-hmm. audiences, which can only be good, I think, for podcasting. Do you agree?
I totally agree.
Mm-hmm.
Because as soon as you get complacent in whatever you're doing, mm-hmm. whether it be your job, family, whatever, mm-hmm. it falls to the wayside.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be up on your game.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. And I think, you know, progression is very important. And I think there seems for me as well to be a certain responsibility of, in a way, people who are successful to lead the way to show, you know, share what they've done to create whatever it is they've created. And I think there's very much that culture in audio drama is that the people that we've come across on this programme especially, you know, like yourself, have been really keen to share expertise and ideas and how things have worked and how hasn't. And I think, you know, that's the only way really to encourage people to up their game and make things better, really. So, yeah, good stuff, audio drama world.
You're kind of scaring me here a little.
Am I?
Yeah, because are you saying that I'm one of those people?
Well, yeah. Otherwise, we wouldn't be talking to you right now.
No. I'm not that important.
No, you certainly mm-hmm. are. You've got lots going for you.
No,
as I say, you've got,
no.
Well.
I just have good ears. That's all it is.
Well, that helps. That helps. So, yeah. And what are your ambitions, do you think, in this podcasting world currently?
Just putting out the best audio that I can make and... Mm-hmm. inspiring others to do the same.
Awesome.
Because I've already made my mark in the world as a teacher.
Yes, because you were a teacher for a while. English teacher, wasn't it? Hooray for English teachers everywhere.
I was an English teacher for 20 years.
Wow.
So, and then my back gave way and mm-hmm. I had to retire. But I'm now at home helping my husband and doing things that needs to be done.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
One way or another, things are getting done.
Yeah, keeping creative.
Yeah.
What's next for Darker Projects? What's the the development plan here?
I'm not sure.
Oh?
I mean, between Madness, Quantum Retribution, Night Terrors, and 5-Minute Fears,
mm-hmm.
Doctor Who, and, oh Lord, whatever else comes down the...
So it's a small list.
Star Trek. Whatever I can do to... I will do the best I can to make it stay alive.
Amazing. And where can we find Darker Projects then, and links to your work? Where can people find you online?
Darker Projects is at www.darkerprojects.com.
Mm-hmm.
The Quantum Leap Radio Files. Mm-hmm. It's at Quantum Leap Owl's Place.
Well, superb to talk to you. Thank you so, so much. And yeah, we hope you go from strength to strength with all of the amazing strands to Darker Projects that there are. And it is high quality stuff, all of it.
Thank you, Sarah.
Well, you know, I'm just saying, if people haven't had a chance to listen, then you should definitely head on over there and yeah, find out more. Get some Trekkies and Whovians out there. And you know, I'm sure you have many lined up, but if you need any female Doctor Whos, I know someone. We'd love to do that, but that's another story.
Oh, would that be you?
Well, you know, I'm free and available, so worth a hoik. Anyway.
I think you would have to fight someone off.
I think there'd be several hundred thousand. But yeah, no, I know exactly who. But yes, marvellous. Well, thank you very, very, very much for giving up your time. And yes, happy creating. We'll hear more from you. I'm absolutely sure of that.
And the same to you.